From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Savior's name. I'm glad you're joining us for another time as we let the Bible speak. And doing that today is the Reverend Ian Brown as he turns our attention to Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. But before that, let's hear the SMS Men's Quartet with I've a Home Beyond the River.
To die today, would you go to heaven? If you were to die today, why should you get into heaven? Good morning. Those are a couple of close-to-the-knuckle questions. I'm Ian Brown, and in a moment I'll be examining with you the answers which we find in the Word of God to those searching, probing queries. To get us on the path, let's read a portion of Scripture from Ephesians, the second chapter, the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Researcher George Barna conducted a survey about religious beliefs in America and found that almost 9 out of 10, 85%, consider themselves to be Christian and think they'll go to heaven when they die. The majority of Americans believe that when they die, they'll spend eternity in the glory of God. However, I think of something that Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus was saying that not everyone who thinks that they're going to heaven when they die are actually going. He was stating that many who profess to be Christians are not what the Bible defines as a Christian and therefore won't make heaven, even though they think so. Knowing what Jesus said brings up the two very important questions we posed at the beginning of the program. Question number one, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And if you're answering yes to that one, then question number two, if you were to die today, why should you get into heaven? Let's look a little more closely at the Bible passage we read earlier, Ephesians chapter 2, the verses 8 and 9, for it reveals to us that there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer to these questions. First of all, the passage speaks of a salvation based on what is false. A salvation, well, I should say a salvation in inverted commas, based on what is false. It's possible for somebody to believe that they'll go to heaven when they die, but that hope could be based on a false premise. George Barna found that most Americans believe that salvation is an outcome to be earned through their good character or behaviour. 6 out of 10, 57%, believe that if a person is generally good or does enough good things for others during their lives, they'll earn a place in heaven. He also found there's a growing tendency to believe that all good people, whether or not they consider Jesus Christ to be their saviour, will live in heaven after they die. Now that's certainly not what the Bible declares in Ephesians 2 in the verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul's making it clear that salvation is not a human achievement. In just 5 words, we're assured that man doesn't have the ability to save himself. The Bible says, and that not of yourselves. Man's able to do some amazing things. His achievements in the field of medicine, science, technology are nothing short of amazing, absolutely incredible. Man can send a spacecraft to Mars and put together a little remote control buggy that goes around about picking up rocks, analysing them, and then sending the data back to Earth. Man can create a satellite that, from 450 miles out in space, can take pictures of a human being on Earth that looks like what we would have taken with a camera standing less than 20 feet away. Man can clone animals from cells. Dolly the sheep and Gene the calf are just two of the more famous examples in recent months. Give man enough time and enough resources, and there's little that man cannot do. But there's one thing that man can't do, and will never be able to do, irrespective of how long time stands and how much money he has, and that's achieve his own salvation. And that not of yourselves. Again, Ephesians 2 and verse 9 emphasises the fact that salvation is not by human accomplishments. It declares, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot be good enough and we cannot do enough to save ourselves. The hymn writer put it, not the labours of my hands could fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Salvation is most decidedly not by works. Salvation has nothing to do with your rituals. Salvation has nothing to do with your race. Salvation has nothing to do with your religion. And salvation has nothing to do with your righteousness. Martin Luther was ordained a priest in 1507. In the monastic life, Luther set himself to do everything he could to save himself. More fastings than required, excess penances, starvation, mortification of the body, detailed confessions of sins, both real and imagined, but still Luther found no peace for his troubled heart. You can be a good church member and live a religious life. You can be a grand citizen and live a reputable life. You can be a great companion and live a very reliable life, and yet never be saved, die, and go to hell instead of heaven. If you think you'll go to heaven because you're a church member, because you've been baptised, have taken the Lord's Supper, work in the church, tithe, live a clean moral life, then I'm afraid you're basing your salvation on what the Bible identifies as a false hope. Ephesians 2 in the verses 8 and 9 trumpets forth its message of warning, and in the same breath its message of welcome to you. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as well as looking here at a salvation based upon what is false, let's look at a salvation based on what is free. Our text reveals that salvation is not something that we do, but it's something that has been already done. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 tells us, for by grace are ye saved. And that alerts us to the fact that Jesus graciously purchased salvation for us. The word grace speaks of that which is undeserved, yet has been provided for us. Being saved by grace means that we didn't deserve it, but Jesus has done all that is necessary for our salvation. D.L. Moody became so stirred up when he was preparing a sermon on a subject of grace that he grabbed his hat, left the study, strode out into the street and accosted the first man he met with this abrupt question. Do you know what grace is? The man happened to be a policeman on traffic duty, and the question, allied with the earnestness of D.L. Moody, broke him down and was used of God to his conversion. Dr. J.H. Jowett could have supplied Moody with a good definition of grace. He said that grace is more than mercy. It is more than tender mercy. It is more than a multitude of mercies. Grace is more than love. It is more than innocent love. Grace is, and here he begins to define it, grace is holy love in spontaneous movement, going out in eager quest toward the unholy and unlovely. That's pretty lengthy, but it's very good, and so I'll repeat it again. Grace is holy love in spontaneous movement, going out in eager quest toward the unholy and unlovely. And that grace was in full exercise at the place called Calvary. There, Jesus purchased the salvation of men by paying the debt of their sin in full. Because of his mighty work, there's nothing that we can work for, pay for, strive for. The work has already been done. That's grace. We're all familiar with John Newton's wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Not only has Jesus graciously purchased salvation for us, God gloriously presents salvation to us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 tells us that salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is something purchased by Jesus and presented or freely offered by God. During the Spanish War, the late American President Roosevelt, then a colonel, commanded a regiment of Rough Riders in Cuba. He became very attached to his men, was greatly concerned when a number of them became ill. Hearing that Miss Clara Barton, the lady who devoted herself to the work of nursing wounded soldiers, had received supplies for the invalids under her care, Colonel Roosevelt asked her to sell a portion of them for the sick men of his regiment. His request was turned down. "How can I get these things?" he asked. "I must have proper food for my sick men." "Just ask for them, Colonel," came the reply. "Oh," Roosevelt said, his face finally breaking into a smile, "that's the way, is it? Then I do ask for them." And he got them immediately. How often the colonel's mistake is repeated in connection with salvation. People seem to expect to receive it in exchange for something that they can offer. The truth is that God's salvation can only be obtained as a free gift. It is the gift of God. That eases me into my final thought for this morning. Jesus has graciously purchased salvation for us. God gloriously presents salvation to us. How does that salvation get to us? We gratefully possess salvation. That's where Ephesians 2 and verse 8 comes in again and says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." All that's left is for us to accept what Jesus has purchased and what God is presenting. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith means accepting Christ as a gift. It means receiving Christ as a guest. It means coming to Christ as a pauper. It means trusting Christ as a saviour. How simple. My friend, have you done that? Don't hesitate to do it. Lay hold of Christ. Trust him. And trust him today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.